good third day of the draft. Added six good football players to our team. You know, two guys in the fourth, one in the fifth, two in the sixth, and one in the seventh. Thought it was a really good process today. We kind of rearranged the board like we talked about last night after I left here. Came back in this morning, really put a target on about, I'd say, 10 to 15 players, and thought we did a pretty good job of managing the situation of who may be available in what rounds. So I want to give a lot of credit to my staff, you know, from Kyle O'Brien to Lance Newmark to our pro department who kind of handles the team needs. Kind of talked a lot about this last year, but they do a great job of sort of predicting what teams are looking for. And that really gives us a good perspective of, you know, when a guy might be available or what teams may be looking for this position. Even though we didn't make any trades today, it's a big part of the process, and our staff put in a ton of work into that aspect of the draft. With that, open up to questions.
Any of the 10 to 15 players?
We did. Yeah, we got a number of them. I can't say we got all of them, but we got a number of the guys that we targeted early this morning at the different levels.
Who are the guys that you got who are part of
that? Jalen Reeves-Maven.
Can you just specifically the first two? I mean, obviously you had a chance to get those guys up top. What role do you envision, and why were those guys high on your list?
Like, yeah. You know, Jalen, first off, really good football player at the University of Tennessee. Really good tackler, speed, athleticism, playmaker. I'd say, you know, we talked about Jalen the other night, and in terms of instincts, that this guy's instincts for the linebacker position are very good. So that's one thing that we led to him. I spent some time with him personally down there in Tennessee before the pro day. Really felt fortunate that he was there. You know, we kind of thought he was definitely going to be probably in the third round. So we were kind of holding on hope there through the middle of the fourth that he was still going to be there. So the value was just too good to pass up.
You've mentioned instincts before, Bob. You did a Matisse Tabor too. Is there some sort of, when you're looking at some sort of trigger or whatever, that tells you that the guy's kind of got a feel for what he does?
Yeah, I think it's different for different positions, but like in Jalen's case, it's anticipation of when the quarterback's going to throw and what route's going to be run. At linebacker, it's a kind of totally different ball game. It's, all right, what direction is the ball going to? What hole is it going to hit? Or if it's play action, how quickly do they react? So it's tape. It goes, instincts can't be judged in an interview. Instincts can't be judged in a test. Instincts are viewed on the film.
You guys didn't draft a running back. Where do you feel like you guys are with the position?
I feel pretty good about the position. You know, there's a couple of running backs that we, you know, looked at in the middle part of the draft, but just no one felt that was going to come in and really unseat any of the guys that we have on our roster. So feel good about that spot.
Is Amir Abdullah your starting running back?
He is.
How about just, you know, the thought of getting some insurance there because those top two guys had some, you know, injuries last year. Obviously, you see it all the time where maybe there's not enough insurance at some place. How do you balance that?
Yeah. It's a tough balance. But I think, you know, Amir's injury last year was sort of a fluke thing. And he's back 100%. You know, Theo's dealing with a few things, but we think he's going to be ready to go too. You can't carry 10 running backs. I mean, that's just the nature of, like, what the NFL league rules are. You got 90 guys on the roster, and you got to split them up as best you see fit. So, you know, feel good about Zach. Feel good about Dwayne. Feel good about Mike James. So that's just the way we went.
Going back to the anticipation and instincts, Agnew, hands on 48 balls, I think, during his college career, really impressive numbers. Does he have those similar instincts, and is he more of a nickel guy just given his size?
Yeah, definitely more of a nickel guy. Small school prospect from the University of San Diego, and yes, he is very instinctive. You know, I think Tim always talks about, Tim, you back there? Your metrics?
Yes.
He's high.
Analytics metrics.
He's high on that scale. But it's different, though, because, you know, you have to look at all those things. You got to look in level of competition. You know, he's not playing against SEC receivers. You know, a lot of those schools out there are actually non-scholarship. So really what solidified Jamal's, I guess, evaluation was the pro day. We had a couple guys out of his pro day, and they came back, you know, raving about him. Then we watched the pro day. We watched more film. So that was a guy that we kind of, a little bit under the radar as a non-combine guy, but felt really strong about the evaluation, and you know he's going to come in there and compete on the inside.
Right, I also think he's in the punt return mix.
Yeah, he'll be in the punt return mix. He's, you know, he's got a ways to go. He's got some development there, and you know, catching NFL punts is a little different than you know guys like me and you trying to punt. So,
Iowa was probably the biggest name that you signed, or the most recognizable name, at least. You just why grab him at that point? And you know, a lot of people thought he might go higher. So, what do you think you have?
Yeah, really good value. He was a guy that was like sticking out on the board for most of the day, and he kept falling and falling. And at one point in time, you just gotta trust your judgment and just follow the board. Didn't really go into this draft saying I had to draft a quarterback. We could have. So Brad brings, you know, intelligent guy that, you know, Coach Golden, you know, was with him. He recruited him. So we really had a lot of insight on the kid. So we kind of, not that we knew more, but I think we had a really good feel of what kind of player we got and what kind of guy that can really learn an NFL offense in an accelerated fashion. Good arm strength. Pocket passer, played an NFL system, so that's definitely part of the evaluation. So there's less projection when he's actually been under center. He's run some play action, you know, those things that kind of, when those guys are in shotgun and at the college level, it just takes them time to kind of transition. So fellow's a good value pick, and he's going to come in and compete with Jake and see how it goes.
You said before the draft that what you did at tight end could affect Eric Ebron's success with the team. You got your tight end on Michael Roberts. What do you think of Roberts, and also does that affect your decision?
Yeah, I don't think it affects the decision on Eric that we'll make here in the next couple of days. I would say this, though. Michael is a different kind of tight end than Eric is. You know, Eric's a fast, athletic F tight end, we call him. Big Mike is a Y. So it's
a
big factor. This guy's like the biggest hands in the draft and the combine. Like, you shake his hand when you guys meet this guy. Like, I mean, you can't even see your hand in there. I think at the pro day we were down there, and I think he shook my hand, and I kind of just took it out real quick and kind of gave him a fist pump because I just like felt a little uncomfortable. So he's a good kid from Cleveland. You know, red area target is exactly right. Big guy that, for his size, runs well enough. I mean, this guy isn't a 4.5 guy, but for being 275 pounds, this guy moves pretty good. So excited to add him to the group.
Just for clarity's sake, have you made that decision on Eric?
Have not.
When you draft guys, you have a plan in mind. With Ledbetter, he's kind of a tweener in terms of defensive tackle, defensive end. What is your initial vision for him?
Our initial vision for him is defensive tackle. That's where we're going to start him. He does play both. When you watch him on film, he definitely rotates 3-technique, 5-technique, 7-technique. You see him all over the place, which is part of why we like this guy, because he has versatility, but we're starting him off on the inside.
Now, he's not the biggest. He played at Arkansas was 285. Again, with the initial plan, what kind of weight do you think you'd like to see him get to handle that?
Yeah, we'll kind of wait to decide on that once he gets here. Once we get in with our strength coaches, once he gets with the position coach and with our nutritionist and kind of see what the body composition is before we're going to commit to, hey, get to 300 pounds. Like, maybe that's not good for him. So that takes time to kind of evaluate over the course of the spring.
Coming more from Bob. I want to go back to one thing that was asked yesterday, that where do things stand with Anquan Boldin, if you guys?
Yeah, we've had some communication with Anquan. That was back in, I'd say, March. So really no update on our end of things. I know he's, you know, they said he's been communicating with a couple other teams, but nothing to update.
Door's
open. Yep.
How do you feel about your pass rushing situation at this point?
Excuse me?
How do you feel about your pass rushing situation at this point?
I feel good. Ziggy Ansah, Kerry Hyder, Cornelius Washington, guys in the inside, Ashawn, Armani Bryant, Zettel. Feel good.
You made six defenders and three offensive players. Was that just the way it fell, or was it?
Yeah. You know, that's always like you go into it and you kind of say, you know, you want to be even, or, hey, I definitely have to go more defense this year. That's just kind of how it fell this year, to answer it quickly.
In regards to undrafted free agents, are you already in that process? Have you seen players that were starting to fall that you thought you could get after them?
Yeah, we are exactly in the middle of that process, like right now. So that's why I'd actually need to get going here in a minute. But yes, I think the rookie free agents, we're not going to confirm anything until actually these guys put their names on the dotted line. But we're in the talks right now with numerous guys. Nothing's official, but we feel good, like we're going to have a good crop of rookie free agents. So that's another thing I think was really good in terms of our scouting staff, like really organizing that. If you guys could ever be in the war room, which maybe someday, it's chaos. I mean, I'm just telling you, like, I made a joke today and I was dead serious. The seventh round in rookie free agent is more stressful than the first round. Because everything's flying so fast, the picks are coming off the board, and you're sitting there, especially with us, where we're at 250. Is that what we picked, Patty? So 250, and really what it comes down to is you're looking at the board, you're saying, okay, I want to draft one of these five guys. You're really like, which ones can I not get as a rookie free agent when you're that low? You know, if you're at the top of the seventh round, it's different. But when you're in the last five or ten picks, that's kind of part of the draft strategy. So that was – it's hectic. Not my favorite part of the draft, but we got through it.
When do your calls start going out to guys that you might want to sign after the draft?
Right after the draft's over.
Season's still a long ways off. Where would you say you've improved this roster this offseason the most?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, good question. I think when you look at the roster, it's probably more on the defensive side of the ball, just in terms of the pure numbers that we've added. But I think, you know, in terms of on the offensive side of the ball, with the offensive lineman that we added and the tight end and the receiver today in the draft, I think it's pretty well-rounded. I think we still have a ways to go to kind of really complement the entire roster. The spring's early. We haven't even set our feet on the field yet. For OTAs, so it's a never-ending process for us to try to improve the roster, and we try to do it every day.
What spots does Reeves maybe play?
He'll be an outside linebacker, probably more of a will.
One more for Bob. Yeah, Bob, this is away from the metrics and all that, but you talked last night about three guys that really love the game, just love the whole thing. How much do you factor in guys like Galladay, who they sort of, they just never give up, they keep pursuing, they find the path, find the way? Just not give up and go to like two schools, small school, and all that.
Yeah. When we talk about the background of these players and the character and where they came from and like what's important to them, that all factors in. I mean, he's a pretty unique story. You know, set on his own highlight tape to try to get, you know, recruited to a Division I school. I mean, that means something. I'm not saying it means everything, but when you sit down and interview a guy, you kind of know what's important in their life. And, you know, I think that's a small factor, but it means something.